It is Thursday, the 4th of April, and this is episode 158 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another snowy afternoon. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by Ian as ever. Hello, Ian.
Good afternoon. It's evening. Good evening.
It's all afternoon when you're not at work, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
No.
Yeah, so have you got snow again?
Yeah, it just started settling just now.
Oh,
not,
nice.
Not much, but it's all right.
We've had none all week. It's been fantastic.
In April, you don't expect it, do you? Never mind.
I was outside fixing fences.
Fixing fences?
Well, seeing as I'm obviously unemployed now, I thought I'd make good use of my time.
You going to your garage? Get any asbestos poisoning?
I did go into my garage, but I wore a mask.
And you lean to?
Yes. I put on my gimp mask, made sure that there was no...
I can't believe you. Your garage is a toxic area. There we go. Let's do some news, shall we?
You know the worst bit? I need to interrupt you. The worst bit is that you were concerned about the toxics, but you totally don't mind me having a gimp mask in my garage.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It's expected in. Facebook have announced that they aren't building a phone at all. So all those rumours before were a bit off the mark, but they are doing things in the phone arena. They have just announced something called Facebook Home. And it is basically a layer over the top of Android. And effectively putting Facebook contacts front and center. You watched the live blogs, I think. Is that right?
I did. I watched it. Well, they actually streamed it. How very un-Apple-like. Okay. So much like Google I.O., they do proper streaming of the events, Facebook do the same. And, interesting. It felt like a launcher. So that on my Nexus, I've got the Nova launcher. And it felt a bit like that they've just basically...
So it's just a plonked on top, a bit like, you know, they phone manufacturers do, but they're doing it with the Facebook enterprise.
And there was a whole lot of preamble beforehand. Zuck said the home screen is the soul of your phone.
Is it? Not really.
And it's like, I didn't think he could look a bigger cock, but clearly he can. And he was walking around with these big mics as well.
It was very, very 80s.
It was very strange. So that they described this, and the app's called, is it an app? It is an app, because it's going to be in the Play Store. So it's called Home, and they describe it as like a family of apps. And as I said, I can't get away from it feeling like a launcher.
Well, no, because that's pretty much what it is. But it's kind of more like a widget, really, isn't it? It's adding functionality rather than, it's adding, you know, features to the phone rather
it's adding
than
features but in some ways it was what they're saying is it's almost like a Chromeless UI. So it's this idea of, it's like if you put up a picture of your car and you would just see the picture and maybe some, you know, text describing it, and you would swipe next, a bit like Flipboard. And I described it in the show notes as like Flipboard or a screensaver even, you know. So the
which
updates,
is fine as long as it is intuitive, is the only thing I'd say.
And I think it's with any of these things, initially it probably won't feel that way, but if that's where you spend most of your time, it'll become, I mean, it's like Flipboard. The first time you come to use it, you flip it. And when it came to the phone, I was doing the same, you know, motion, and I was like, oh, it's different if you flip up. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of that. And also what they're trying to de-emphasize is applications, and they're trying to emphasize people and saying
which is what Facebook is. So yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely. So there's this idea that you'll get the updates coming through from people. And the other thing that they wanted to emphasise was messaging, and that messages at the moment are stuck in apps. You know, so I've got, if you look at iOS, iMessage is where everything is, and you can text and you've got messages, but you can get messages in WhatsApp and Facebook, and it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And he sees this as a problem. So they've got a new thing called Chat Heads.
Right.
Which just feels like the worst name ever.
Yeah.
But basically, as a head pops up in the upper right, you tap on it, you move it around, you stack them together, bringing different people into the chat, and it's bringing all the messages from SMS, from Facebook messages, from all over the place into this one application.
Which is fine then, as long as you let Facebook know who everybody is and links everything together. Yeah, fair enough.
And that's what they're looking for. In the same way, that's where they're you know,
one texting app to rule them all, basically.
Absolutely. So as I said, it feels like a replacement launcher. You've said the same. I think they're talking about there's kind of different widget support in the front end as well. It's launching for phone only, not tablets, and it's coming out next week.
Yeah, tablets are coming soon, though. But the launch, it's only supporting a limited number of handsets. So the big ones, HTC One, the One X, Samsung S3, S4, and the Note 2. Other phones will be released on a monthly cycle with additional features and all those kind of nice things. It's not a fork of Android. It's literally an app or a layer over the top of Android. So Android isn't you're not going to suffer if you've got this on your phone with not keeping up with Android updates, which is good. I didn't see this coming. I thought they would do something more on a kind of the hardware front, but it's quite a good thing that actually they've gone the software route, I think. Quite clever.
And I mean, hardware wise, HTC were up on stage and they've announced the HTC First, which is the first, they're calling it a social phone, but it's going to be the first phone to actually come with Home baked in. And as you say, it's a lot of these manufacturers put their, you know, the Sense UI or their different skins on top of Android. And Zuckerberg said the same at the demo today. It was, you know, there's no need to go and do their own, you know, operating system or create their own mobile because Android's so open.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I bet Google aren't very happy about this because I was wondering why they'd, you know, gone down. You know, are they working with Google on this? And I don't get the impression they would be because really, Google are trying to put Google Plus and all the Google contacts front and center. And by Facebook coming along and saying, well, we're going to release an app that takes away all that, they're actually doing, it's quite an attack, really.
I guess there's lots of commentary right now about that although Google supports Android, but do they really get the most out of it? You know, if you look at profits, Samsung makes by far the most profit and Google's not making any really off of Android. Is there a threat there? Is that why Chrome, is that why Chrome OS is, you know, do Google see that as their future rather than Android?
I think as long as they still got the advert platform underneath somewhere and they've got that possibility on Android, then they're probably still okay with that. But if Facebook start interfering with things like that and putting their own adverts again front and center, then that might start being an issue.
And the amazing stat came out today. It was up in Google Home this morning. That 18% of Americans, I mean, they're using their smartphone, 18% of Americans' time on a smartphone is using Facebook.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which is, I think, really high. But then if you're in that app and you're in that kind of ecosystem, I don't use Facebook that much. You use it a lot.
It's only happened recently because of all this racing stuff going on, and you know that's the best way of organising stuff and keeping in contact. So, so it suddenly become useful for me, and then suddenly, yes, I use it on my phone all the time.
Yep.
You know, so yeah, I can totally understand it now, whereas before it didn't make sense. I didn't have any friends before.
Oh.
So Zuck's calling this the best version of Facebook. So clearly wants everyone to download this onto their phone, and like I say, that is going to get a little bit uncomfortable for Google, I think.
Hmm.
Google also this week have announced that they're going to fork WebKit. So WebKit, they were working with Apple. That's the kind of rendering engine behind Safari and also Chrome. And also Opera came on board very, very late. But now Opera have decided they're going to go with Google's fork. Google's fork is going to be called Blink.
I don't know what to make of this, if I'm perfectly honest.
So From what Google have been saying, they said it's been a hard decision to move away because they've had good collaboration on this software, and WebKit overall has pretty much smashed it. I mean, they've done a very good job, and they did take a big chunk of the market. I think it took up to 40% at one point. So it's an interesting one that Google want to now sort of stray away from it, but it sounds like they're not able to implement everything in a straightforward enough manner. Trying to go forward with their, because it powers their Chrome OS and obviously Chrome browser as well, but they're not able to do some things because things are overly complicated, so they want to strip it back a bit again. And we were talking the other day about how, you know, Chrome started out as this blisteringly fast browser that, you know, faster than anything we'd seen, but it's kind of gone away from that now. It's bloated, it's fat around the edges, and maybe this is their kind of intent to get back to the core of what they want it to be.
And it gets really murky. I think only within Google you'll know why they're doing this properly. You know, everybody's trying to work out the correct angle on this. WebKit started off, it was open sourced by Apple. Apple were the main group that were contributing, you know, patches and updates. Google came on board and it kind of rolls reversed. Apple slowed down.
I was going to say, Google took over, didn't they?
Yeah, Apple really slowed down with their updates, and Google were you know, just phenomenal amount of improvements they made. But that's the whole point of having something open source like that, is everybody benefits. And I guess this is the interesting part. Have they, by Google saying we're going to fork WebKit and go our own way, is this them now saying, well, everything that we now put into Blink, it'll be for us, you know, and Apple don't get the benefit? That is one, I guess, one nasty way of looking at it. The other way is, I mean, I think they said straight away there was 7 different building environments, 7,000 files and 4 million lines of code that they can drop.
Yes,
just moving to this, and it's yeah. And straight away you're like, wow, that's...
Yeah, that has to make a difference, yeah.
Exactly. And this is I still think Chrome rather than Android is where Google see their future. And
I think you're absolutely right, yeah. And this is the way that they can ensure that that can happen. And they can control it, you know, as they see fit.
So, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we'll see Chrome still in OS X. Some people are saying, well, Chrome and iOS will be different, but it currently is, because you've got to use the Apple's rendering engine. Even if it's the Chrome browser, can't use what Google would use on iOS. You know, so Apple.
No, but up till now it has been WebKit, so it's been pretty much the same, you know, it's similar. Yeah. But now, yes, it will have to differentiate itself slightly. Yeah, but it might spark some good innovation. We've kind of come to the point where we're trying to converge all the web standards, obviously, and things are just now getting to the point where everything does feel like that. But I guess if they want to do special things, then they need their own environment to do that. Whether that's going to upset and go down the kind of Microsoft's IE6 route, which screwed things over for a good many years, that's yet to be seen. I doubt it somehow. I think they'll still be very standards compliant, because I think they know that that's the way forward.
Yes, and Google do tend to be more standards compliant than anybody else. Certain things, you know, that they've seen the kind of WebM video format. I'm not entirely convinced about that route, but certainly when it comes to browser, they do. I think they're doing it for the right reasons. That's what it certainly feels like. And I'm sure the right reasons are protecting Google at the same time.
Sure. And you know, they are a company, they've got to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
And they've been attacked. So, you know, why wouldn't you? So, as I say, Opera have also jumped ship, and they're going to go with this Blink now. But it's interesting that also in the news that Mozilla and Samsung are going to collaborate on a new web engine for their own browsers. So Mozilla, they've gone down this completely open source route, whereas WebKit was always mostly open source, but they also included the other technologies for video and stuff, which although nearly open source, weren't properly. They had some sort of licensing underneath them.
Yeah.
So Mozilla have always had to keep away from the WebKit brand just for that reason. But they're also talking about starting from the ground up and building for new hardware, so trying to get rid of any old... thinking around the browsers and trying to make things so they're super speedy.
And this is called Servo. So it's, as you're saying, it's almost start from scratch. If we didn't have to support a whole lot of legacy, you know, hardware standards.
Yeah, what would you do?
Yeah. And it's interesting.
If you knew that you were going to have 8 cores sat there, what would you do with them?
Yep, and it's interesting. It's Samsung. You know, I think it's clear that strategically these companies are seeing that they have to be on their own rather than relying on other partners. And I'd put in the notes about, you know, Apple going down the Maps route. I mean, they took a few months of pain, probably, I mean, maybe a year of pain, and it dented the image of what they can do. But there was good reasons why they felt they had to go down that route.
They've got hold of their own product now, yeah.
Yep. So,
yeah, it's amazing how we've had so much, it's been so quiet on the browser front recently. We've just been ticking along with, because we don't have point releases anymore. We have these, you know, updates every 2 seconds.
Well, Firefox version 20 came out yesterday.
Yeah, and it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, Chrome updates literally every other day, kind of thing, with new bits and bobs. And so it's not really, you don't talk about new browsers anymore like we used to. It's just a constantly evolving situation, which is a much better place to be, I guess.
It is, but you mentioned IE6. And IE6, I mean, part of the problem for me was it was good enough at the time and nobody was really competing.
Yeah. So
created a massive problem.
And so this is now maybe we're seeing that spark and the inspiration will start happening again. We may have problems again where everything diverges, which hopefully it won't happen. But yeah, hopefully, you know, even if that does happen, we get some innovations and we start converging again, probably in time for HTML7.
Well, but it's clear you've said frequently HTML5 is the future and web apps the future, but it's clear that it needs a push. That there are some things it works well for, and there's other things that still doesn't feel right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think people have got hold of it yet because there's still no browser, even though everyone's kind of supporting HTML5, there's no browser out there that's built just to do that. You know,
it
always has to look backwards. And maybe that's what, you know, Firefox is saying. Let's get it all completely up to date, standards compliant. And then, I mean, half the problem is the standards haven't been all locked down yet. It takes so long for them to come up with these standards and then lock them down. It's unbelievable.
And I think this will be good for end users. You know, so me and you as end users should see a far better product in the long run. For developers, I'm not so sure. And I think it's too early to tell.
It could be moving the web into a real, you know, it's already a development, proper development environment now. You're not talking
absolutely
HTML anymore. I mean, who ever thought that you'd be doing Google Docs, Hangouts and, you know, spreadsheets and all those kind of things that we do nowadays and take for granted in the web browser with, and it doesn't even sniff at it. You know, it just does it. It's unbelievable what you can do nowadays.
Yes.
I'm getting old.
Well, yeah, the best bit is that you mentioned like all that, and I still think a bomber mine and a thousand player full screen, and I won't tell you how many minutes.
Yeah, it's not counted in the minutes though, is it? Dropbox have implemented or integrated themselves into Yahoo Mail, or rather Yahoo Mail has integrated Dropbox into them. And as we were sort of talking about a couple of weeks back, this is Dropbox being used for attachment, easy attachment sending, and basically from within Yahoo Mail, you can easily attach things that then get actually put into your Dropbox for distribution. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Indeed. And it's a small story, but just I think it's probably points the direction of why they bought Mailbox.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's Yahoo saying, you know, this is a good solution, which it is. And it's keeping Dropbox relevant, I guess.
Absolutely. And also, Dropbox, probably unlike most other companies, when they acquired, so we talked about somewhere last week, you know, it was acquired and shut down straight away.
Yeah.
They didn't shut this down, didn't shut Mailbox down. So it wasn't a talent acquisition. It wasn't a, we want you because you make good front ends, or we want you because you're cool. But strategically, they are going to, I think, you know, I was almost going to say leverage, but then that would be a twat thing to say. You don't say leverage. I've caught myself saying it more and more, and I do need to give myself a slap. It's just, don't want to be that man.
Love it. Brilliant. I love that you've got paranoid about that now. It's good.
Oh, I have. I'll be sitting at work and I'll say, well, we're going to
come up with another word quick.
I need to
get the new word of the day.
Anyway, I should have was going to make a point there, but leverage was far more, more interesting.
So, okay. Someone else has bought some stuff. Amazon has bought Goodreads. Now I've not looked. I'm not a reader. I'm really not a reader. I tried it once. It's not good for your health. But Goodreads is apparently kind of a book review site and social site around books and what am I reading? What do I want to read? All those kind of nice things. And Amazon has gone and bought them. And some people think this is great, and other people think this is, oh my God, this is the Amazon monopoly, and how can we ever trust Goodreads ever again? Because surely they're just trying to sell us stuff.
Pretty much. I don't understand anything.
No,
I was on Goodreads, and I think I've only read three books on Goodreads, but that's because I've only read three books. It's one of these, it's another way of saying, here's what I've read, here's what I recommend, here's what I didn't like, and you're seeing what your friends are reading as well. You know, it's that very much that kind
people
of...
people who like this, like that.
Yeah. And it was, it's a really good product. It's got millions of users, 16 million members, and that's not just, you know, people that have joined us.
Who'd have thought this reading thing would be quite popular?
But it's the whole reading and the social element to it as well. The concern that people have is just that the Kindle is the dominant presence when it comes to online books. And they've now, when they bought, I think I shoved it in there, Shelfari was a social reading site they bought in 2008. And at the time, Shelfari was kind of the more popular one, but it kind of died a death and Goodreads took over and they've now bought Goodreads. I've seen a couple of people, and certainly in my Twitter feed, saying, I am concerned that Amazon have my data now. I don't know why they feel that Goodreads was a trusted source and Amazon isn't. I don't know if it's because it's the link now to the sales side of things.
But then it's likely Goodreads had the links out there anyway.
Exactly.
You just didn't know about them before then.
Yeah.
I guess Amazon are still trying to keep that core of their business alive, because that's where they obviously started out, was fully books. And they have got a pretty strong vertical monopolization, easy for me to say. Now, you know, from you know, authors all the way through up to sales and then reviewing on top of that, it's amazing.
Is that really a bad thing?
Don't know, really.
I don't know.
Of all the companies in the world, Amazon don't make the biggest profits out there, so they're not wasting resources, that's for sure.
Well, that's because Bezos is off getting bloody rockets from the bottom of the sea.
That's true. Lodsys. This is a long time since we talked about Lodsys, so that's, I mean, we've been covering them for ages, but they have four patents that they constantly chuff around, and it's to do with in-app purchasing. And they reckon they've got a patent which says that they own the rights to do in-app purchases. And they keep using this to attack people. They started off quite small a while back, and we reported where they were going after developers. Apple stepped in and said, right, we will defend you, small developers of the world. We will make sure that you don't get sued, or if you do, then we will defend you in court. But recently they've had a ruling in their favor, which has given them a little bit more confidence, and they've gone after some bigger people. So they've gone after some big gaming people like EA, biggest gaming people, Rovio and Atari. So they're clearly a bit bullshit at the moment. They're coming back out into the open and, say, flinging their patents around again.
Yes, and as you're saying, I mean, they won this award back in October, but they've actually, the 150 companies have now signed up, so they do actually publicise the ones that have signed up, as you've mentioned. But they've now decided to take on Disney. And considering there's a big tie between Apple and Disney, that's quite an interesting move. There's also nine other developers. So Gameloft, another big, you know...
Yeah, they're massive.
But also, been from one scale to other, TLA Systems. So this is a Glasgow developer, James Thompson. You know, so it's a... He's spent 20 years developing Peacock. You know, that's his app. And, you know, he developed it on the Mac and then he started it on iOS. And he's 2 years ago, he was very vocal about his concern about this patent and what it could mean. And he's been one of the ones now that's now been sued. And again, it's unclear. It was the same last time. You know, Lodsys came out, it was 2 years ago, May 2011. And
have we been doing this that long?
Three and a half years, I think we've been doing this.
We need to get a life, mate.
Oh, I think Shaq was right all along.
He probably was. And that's the end of Digital Outbox. We will never see you again.
Well, at least I don't need to sort any album out now. But it was 2 years ago, and it was lots of kind of press, lots of worry, and it was just before WWDC, and Apple says, hold on, we've got your back, don't worry. And everybody was like, yay.
Go Apple.
So I guess people are hoping the same happens again. The difference is that they've now got these, you know, 150, some of them very big. They've just said, yeah, we'll pay out that license. You know, our lawyers have looked at it and we believe that you do
own
it.
It's easier to pay that money. Well, there you go. So I'm sure we'll hear more about that and whether they really do have enough of a strength behind their patents. Disney have, other than being sued by Lodsys, they've also decided they're going to close LucasArts. LucasArts being their game division and responsible for some pretty big games in the past. So they've decided they're going to shut down their internal development, and they will instead license out their games to other development houses.
Part of my childhood, I say childhood, yeah. Probably uni years. It was uni years. Died with this.
Yeah, I always feel with their games though, it's more nostalgia than real quality. They've had far more misses than hits, that's for sure.
I think in recent years I totally agree, but back when I first got my £1,000 ESCOM PC, which was cutting edge at the time, with its, I'm trying to remember, I think it was 120 130 meg hard drive.
Wow. positively vacuous.
Oh, it was, because my mate just bought one the previous month and it was like double the size, and he was so upset. It was like, no. But I mean, X-Wing and TIE Fighter was fantastic. Okay. Monkey Island, because
they were kind of ahead of their times in as far as the graphics and, you know, the 3D environments.
You knew if there was a LucasArts games coming out at that time period, it was quality.
I bet if we play them now, it'd be rubbish.
Oh, but that's now.
I know.
You've been overly harsh.
I am being harsh, but there's very. That was probably the one and only good Star Wars game they made.
Rubbish. There was TIE Fighter came out afterwards as well.
I was probably losing interest by then.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I guess the surprise with this one is that at last E3, we saw Star Wars 1313, and this was the kind of the game demo that had the graphics. Everybody said there's no way that that's current gen, and admitted that it's going to be next gen, and it's going to be whatever cutting edge PC is in a year or two's time. It looked, you know, that good, and it's been shuttered. And lots of people came out a couple of days ago and says, well, they've been hearing rumors for a couple of months because there's been no demos, there's been no talk. PS4 was talked about, and it was like, where's Star Wars 1313? You know, that was a big, you know, poster child from E3. So it's sad days.
Yeah, they've people have lost their jobs, so it's not good. I mean, say, even though it was a LucasArts company, I guess some of their biggest games, though, were like Secrets of Monkey Island, Grim Fandango. They're all kind of, they were big genres in their own, big games within their genres.
But it's shocking when you look at it. I mean, they've got Indiana Jones as a license. I mean, Star Wars and Indiana Jones, you'd think you couldn't fail. You look at Tomb Raider and you look at the Uncharted.
They've got the real license there, and Tomb Raider's created their own brand around, and Uncharted, but completely their own brand around the same thing, but just done it better and more successfully, for sure.
Take out a gun and shoot yourself in the foot.
Poor LucasArts. Anyway, it is a shame, but I'd say we will still see all those games, and maybe done by better developers. Who knows? British Library, they're going to archive 1 billion UK web pages by the year's end. How fun.
Indeed.
So academyracer.co.uk will be forever.
you better do damn well this year, that's all I can say, because it's going to be immortalised.
I thought there were several other services sort of doing this anyway, or are they only doing it for key big websites?
Was there not archive.org?
Something along that. I remember that there's a site that keeps track of all the big websites and what they look like at different times of their life, all the way back through the years. So I guess this is a UK equivalent for
archive.org, and it's Wayback Machine. And you're saying big websites, but I do recall that Sweeper.net was on there.
How fun.
Which I will check right now.
I don't really know the story behind it. That's why I'm stuttering a little bit. So I don't know why they're Sweeper.net is on way back there. Way from, back web.
Jeez, 2002.
There you go.
Jeez. So hold on, a snapshot on February 28th, 2002. This is a weblog where I write about things that interest me.
Uh-oh, we're delving back into the world of sweeps. So is there a reason that they're doing this, that you know of? No, he really has gone off on one.
I have, because I found a link to Twatic. And Twatic was sorry for digressing, but Twatic was our shares investment club at work.
Oh, there you go.
And it was called the Workers Against Tax Investment Club.
Rock on, revolution!
Anyway, sorry, I'm just amusing myself now.
You are, and I'm stuttering because I don't know what why they're recording these things, if not just for the sake of it.
I think it's just a bit like they capture all the newspaper articles, etc.
Okay, so they're going to have a list of all the news that's out there.
But only
20 articles per month of the Times.
But the Telegraph as well.
Yeah.
No luck. And I guess the bit that kind of boggles me is, how are they going to catch? Is it all PDF? Is it all scans? Is it, you know, how does it format?
Is it actually going to grab the graphics and the HTML? Yeah.
Yes. But they're saying capturing URLs is only one part of the process. Another challenge is preserving them. So copies will be stored in servers across the country. Library staff will update file formats if and when technology advances call for it. Which sounds a bit like, yeah, we know that's an issue. We've not quite got it figured. But we'll
I wonder
there.
If they're just going to right click on all the websites and click on web page as.
Tell you that would solve their employment problem. I bet you. I bet you it'd be cheaper to do that.
I mean, last story.
Not to quote the Daily Mail, but we're getting Romanians and I'm sure we could get them right clicking and
save web page.
Yeah.
Last big story of the day. Tory MPs have been. Rob Wilson, MP, of MP for Reading West, tried to link out to an interview with Ian Duncan-Smith in a tweet, but instead copied and pasted probably from the wrong window, allegedly, and tweeted out a link to Sexy Dig, offering free sex to partners in your area and free porn. apparently, a Conservative HQ quickly rang him up to find out what's going on and was heard to say, why is there someone, sniggering in the background? To which they clearly couldn't reply because it's quite funny. They actually had to say they're watching TV.
But they also blamed it in the tiny URL service, said that that was what was wrong.
Yes, we pasted that link in. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's got them into the news. So if that's what they wanted to do, that's what they've done. It could have been a worse site, couldn't it?
Who knew that Dig was sexy?
Yeah, Sexy Dig. Let's have a little rumours section. We don't often do rumours. Let's do some rumours now because the new iPhone is apparently under production. Who says, by the way?
People.
People say.
People
That's
on
what rumours are, isn't it?
People on the internet. There was actually...
People say they know that iPhone 7 is in... Sorry, the new iPhone is in production.
Do you remember a site called Branch?
No.
So one of the Twitter guys had set up a site called Branch and or they'd take it under his wing. It was a different way of doing conversations. You started off a conversation and you invited other people.
Oh, yes, I do remember something vaguely, yeah.
And it was John Gruber posted this link to this really interesting Branch conversation, and it had a lot of the kind of tech bloggers and gadget bloggers, and they were all saying our sources are saying.
Okay, so there's a lot of sources pinging around, yeah. Makes
yeah,
sense.
and it...
It's not, it's not unreasonable. It's about time. So,
yeah. I was just going to say the more interesting one was in iOS 7 because we've talked about it that hardware is hardware. It's evolved.
Yeah.
But iOS 6 last year was a bit of a dog. You know, we saw nothing really new.
Yeah.
And
was it Passbook? Was that even before that? I can't remember.
Passbook. I think it was, but it's just kind of
and notifications or unified notification or something like that.
But no, that was year before. That's how bad.
There you go.
Bad.
Yeah.
It
was OS X, wasn't it? OS 10.
Yeah. So iOS 7 is running late, and they've pulled people from the new version of OS 10. So and that's happened before. So certainly one of the iOS releases to pull people from elsewhere. But also the kind of interesting one is that seemingly there is quite a lot of UI change going on. So that Johnny Ive is
Well, he's now in
some
charge
change.
Of that, isn't that right?
Yes. So he's now got overall across the piece, not just hardware only.
There is talk of people walking around with funny Polaroid glass on the top of their phone so that no one else can see except for the person looking at it, which would suggest therefore that... the interface is going to look different,
which is interesting, and hopefully not just hopefully it's not just take out skeuomorphic texture and replace with blue, and some sort of flat design. You're looking for functionality to come in as well. You know, there's definitely now that I've used Android, there's things that work better, not just look different.
I think you will find, though, that even just a graphical refresh would keep people happier just because it's something new to look at. And it makes them feel like they got a new device rather than the same one repeated and repeated.
Absolutely.
And repeated.
The podcast app, not just because it actually worked and syncs your podcast now, but the fact that they're taking away the tape deck, the majority of people were like, yay, tape deck's gone. Even though you could play the podcast without seeing it ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Final rumor: Nexus 7 talked about July replacement.
Yes,
and that's so quite quick. That's quite a quick cycle going on there.
That's just over a year. I think it's by the time it came out here, because it came out here, I think it was about July, August, and then it got refreshed about November, December.
So maybe that's it. Maybe just because of our slight delay on that. But yeah.
And I slapped down important against this because I do think it is the Android tablet. And I know you can get 10s and fires.
As long as they keep going with, you know, the actual, the software going on that, you know. Because again, a bit of new hardware nowadays is not so exciting, really.
No, but I mean, if they can keep the price at what is it, 160 and 200, if they can keep that price there and they can bring in, you know, a increased display, faster processor, camera, all the things we said an iPad 2 would bring, if they can do that and keep the price, then you're like, wow, that's a really, really good bit of hardware.
It's funny, my nieces have both got Android devices, Android tablets, and they constantly call them their iPads. And it's probably because my my sister and my brother-in-law are like, let's just make them think it's an iPad, fine. They're happy.
What, paint an apple on the back?
Yeah, just scribbled on the back of it, yeah.
I can send you down some stickers, I've got loads.
So that's the end of our little rumour mill for the bit. And just to break mold, I am actually going to put a pick in today, and I'm not sure that Ian's got one. You haven't got one, Ian?
No.
Okay, so I've got the pick this week. And this is straight from our mate Paul, who pointed me in the direction of this. It's a good one. It's Kerbal Space Program. It's a game. It's available on Steam. It's on Mac and PC. And basically, it's currently in beta, but it's a space sandbox. Effectively, it's done in a kind of comic front end, and it's it's got humor in there. But effectively, it's got a hardcore simulation underneath it of how do you build a rocket that you can get into space, orbit, go off on missions, and come back and get your astronauts back home. You can, and you basically you're left to develop your own space program. Whether that be putting satellites in orbit, delivering things to space stations, you can do all sorts. And you have to work out how to build your spacecraft to do all that from start to finish. And I've only scratched the very, very surface of what, you know, how it works and what you do. But Paul's been off on little missions to the MUN, as they call it, the moon, basically. And he wants to go off to the equivalent of Mars and put a rover there. And you can do all that, and it's a very clever bit of kit. It's obviously got all the physics in there and all the physical terms, and say it just gives you the tools and lets you figure it all out, like you are living the 60s.
That looks awesome. Just looking at the screenshots, that looks superb. I will be giving that a whirl.
It's one of those things where if you like the challenge of trying to work all that out, if you want something that's given to you on a plate, this is what you do, then it's not the game for you. But if you want to try and work out and scratch through the game and learn by killing, brutally killing your astronauts every 2 seconds. I mean, because it's things like there's persistence in there as well. So if you launch a satellite that goes wrong, then that's going to be constantly floating around your, you know, world for forever until you go and try and clean it up, so you get space debris and all that kind of stuff.
So
yeah,
so you could have a successful launch and then you'll hit your satellite
you could be on a collision course.
That's class.
It's very clever, and apparently released because they were bugged by all their mates that they needed to release it, so it's in beta, but obviously it'll keep updating until it's comes to the first release. Very, very steep learning curve though, just a warning.
And that's on Steam.
It is Steam across Mac and PC.
Very good.
That is the end of our podcast then. So if you want to find out more about us and what we do, digitaloutbox.com. Email us info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype is Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter if you so wish to follow @CheesyUK. And my racing antics are all on academyracer.co.uk. And Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter as Sweeper. And my blog is iand.net. And I didn't even brain fart during that.
Brain fart is the perfect description of the end of last week's podcast.
I listened back because I did the edits like 2 hours later, and I was like, what the hell? I just stopped.
I think your brain's spewing at the point, isn't it, right now? So let's say goodbye and let's talk to them next week. Bye bye. Brain spew.
I don't know why, but when you're talking about your tweet there, or your Twitter account, I just thought, is your car going to tweet as it goes over a line every lap?
This is my new lap time.
Oh.
I don't have the technology, will, inclination, skill, development knowledge, technology to do that.
But can you not just get like your dad standing at
the... locked in as my car?
Yeah. Chris's car.
Always a, you know, a cheap way of doing things. Yeah.
Yep. Shit, crashed.
Bollocks.
My pilot's useless. Oh, it's not a pilot. What would you call it? Driver. That'll be
if
the one.
If you're from Brazil, I think you're a pilot.
Really?
French pilot.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There you go.
I kind of wish I didn't know that.
Yeah. Should we stop now?
Yeah, go and have some food.